And welcome to Next Reads, a podcast where we read the first chapter of a young adult or middle grade book to help you figure out what to read next. This podcast might contain language or situations some readers might find offensive or unsettling. The North Liberty Library does not necessarily endorse any author's views, but it does support the freedom of speech and the freedom to read. I'm your host, Kayla, the Youth and Teen Services Librarian at the North Liberty Library. My pronouns are she and her. Welcome, listeners. Today, I'm going to be reading from The Silence That Binds Us by Joanna Ho. Our author today is a New York Times bestselling author of Eyes That Kiss in the Corners, Eyes That Speak to the Stars, and Play in the Border, a story of Yo-Yo Ma. She's been an English teacher, a dean, professional development mastermind, and high school vice principal. I chose this book today because it's Mental Health Awareness Month. See some show notes for some resources, and please call 988 or the Mobile Crisis Outreach if you or someone that you love is experiencing a mental health crisis. Our book today is A Young Adult 2022, and the summary is, Maybelline Shen isn't the Chinese-Taiwanese American daughter her mother expects her to be. May prefers hoodies over dresses and wants to become a writer. When asked, her mom can't come up with one specific reason for why she's proud of her only daughter. May's beloved brother Danny, on the other hand, has just been admitted to Princeton. But Danny secretly struggles with depression, and when he dies by suicide, May's world is shattered. In the aftermath, racist accusations are hurled against May's parents for putting too much pressure on Danny. May's father tells her to keep her head down. Instead, May challenges these ugly stereotypes through her writing. Yet the consequences of speaking out runs much deeper than anyone could foresee. Who gets to tell our stories, and who gets silenced? It's up to May to take back the narrative. The New York Times bestselling author Joanna Ho has written an exquisite, heart-rending debut young adult novel that will inspire all to speak truth to power. So this is a contemporary realistic fiction. It's filled with truth, love, and a heroine who takes back the narrative. It delves into themes of racism, classism, loss, and healing. It's a story of inclusion, diversity, and social action. It balances the personal trauma of losing a loved one and the greater societal issues of racism and oppression beautifully. Some content warnings are racism, police brutality, suicide, depression, and grief. Please take care of yourself first. So, without further ado, let's read the first chapter. My mom has her own personal arsenal of silence, and she wields it like the Force, bending me to her will. Her silence can be a flashing yellow light, warning me to proceed with caution, or a magnifying glass she uses to study me like I'm some kind of alien species. Most often, her silence is a hippo, pregnant with disappointment. She can brandish that hippo at me while gracefully hosting a tea party, chatting up guests and offering them tea, which is what she did on the night Danny died. Just as the Woos arrived for dinner, Danny bounded down the stairs with all the grace of a 6-foot water buffalo in basketball shorts, bellowing, "May, May, have you seen my Star Wars socks?" He froze when he saw the Woos, then burst out laughing. Everyone loves Star Wars, right? Then he whipped around and ran back up to his room. He was extra scatterbrained his last few months, which was a little weird. My mom emerged from the kitchen, perfectly pressed, with pearls of steam glistening in her hair. She just shook her head and laughed. Her eyes flitted over to me, taking in my usual ripped jeans and hair, a cinnamon roll splat on top of my head. I was wearing my nicest hoodie, but that didn't stop my mom's right eyebrow from twitching, though her smile never wavered as she greeted our guests. She didn't say anything to me. I glanced at Celeste, who, of course, looked perfect. Her hair glistened in a silky, straight waterfall down her back. She wore a loose black dress that hit modestly above her knees, the shapeless kind that would look like a potato sack on me, but made her look like a model. Celeste had a figure made for Chi Pao, slender, tiny really, with just the slightest suggestions of curves in all the right places. When my mom greeted her, Celeste smiled, dipped her head, and said, "Aye." Her Mandarin didn't have the telltale ABC accent. It sounded like she grew up in Taiwan. 5 minutes later, Danny came back down the stairs, dressed this time and still chuckling. "Hi, Uncle. Hi, Aye. Hey, Celeste." Pink cherry blossoms bloomed on Celeste's cheeks, and I rolled my eyes. "You and every other girl at school," I thought. My mom made a sucking sound against her teeth and cut her eyes over at me. While my dad herded everyone into the dining room, I slipped upstairs and changed into a pair of skinny high-waisted jeans and a cream-colored cardigan with lacy details on the sleeves. My mom got it for me a while ago, and I hadn't even taken the tags off, because not a hoodie. I brushed my hair, but it stuck out in haywire angles from being twisted up all day, so I tied it back up carefully, attempting to wrap it into a neat knot. When I walked back into the dining room, tugging at the edge of my cardigan, Danny coughed into his noodles and arched his eyebrow at me. I gave him a death stare, and he stifled a smile by blowing determinedly on his steaming bowl of Neo-Romian. My mom set a bowl in front of me. It was too hot to eat, but too tempting to wait. The meat was so tender it melted as it touched my tongue. In between bites and burned mouths, everyone praised my mom for the beef noodle soup. She tried not to look too pleased. "It's only okay. I forgot to make the swan kai, so it's not as good today." Then she changed the subject. "How's school, Celeste?" Celeste looked up, chopsticks frozen in the act of depositing noodles into her mouth. "It's good, A.E." Auntie Wu jumped in. "I heard you did very well on your math test last week, May." "Not as well as Celeste," my mother said. "I heard she got the top score." Celeste shifted uncomfortably. I don't know where my mom is getting her information, but she has her ways, and she takes a special interest in math because she's an engineer. It's just another reason for her to summon that pregnant hippo. Math is whatever to me. I'd rather be writing. My mom directed her praise to Uncle and Auntie Wu. "She stays up so late to study, sometimes we worry about her," said Auntie Wu, shaking her head. "I say to her, go to sleep or you will ruin your eyes, but she just keeps working." "Studying hard is a good thing. I tell her to relax a little. An A-minus never killed anyone." Uncle Wu laughed and looked at my dad. "If I'd ever brought home an A-minus, my mom would have thrown me a party." "You couldn't have afforded the bribe to get an A-minus. You spent more time in the principal's office than in class," my dad retorted. They looked at each other and laughed harder, past memories filling the space between their eyes. Uncle Wu and Dad grew up together in San Francisco's Chinatown. When Uncle Wu came over, they slipped in and out between Cantonese and English, amphibians of language comfortable in both habitats. I loved seeing my dad morph into his teenage self. The swagger, the laughter, the slang all came back when Uncle Wu was around. "What would Joe think of us now, all cleaned up with kids?" Uncle Wu said while slurping up a bite of noodles. "He wouldn't believe us. He'd love it." My dad's smile dropped as he looked toward the living room, where a faded picture of Uncle Joe sat on a bookshelf. "This is all because of him." "Ah, yeah, you are such troublemakers," my mom said, tilting the subject back toward humor with mock exasperation. "I'm glad I met you after your Chinatown days." She started scooping up more noodles and soup into our bowls. I shook my head a little and croaked, "I'm good, Ma. I'm full." "Full? You barely ate, Maybelline." My name was my mom's idea. When she was a young graduate, fresh off of Taiwan's top university, she saw a commercial for Maybelline makeup products that sang, "Maybe it's Maybelline." She thought it sounded beautiful and refined. She's the only one who actually calls me by my full name. My mom tried to sound chipper in front of our guests, but chipper on my mom is like a fake tan on a Minnesotan in winter. As she ladled soup and meat into my bowl, she said, "I thought Neo-Romian was your favorite." Her eyes flash in a silent warning, "Don't embarrass me." I really was stuffed, but gave up protesting. It's just safer to keep my mouth shut. Every time I retreat into my cave of silence, I spruce the place up. At this point, I've basically decorated myself a room complete with pocky, books, a couple leafy plants, and a bed. I'm comfortable here. As everyone tucked in to beef noodle soup, round two, My mom looked up like she just thought of something, though. I got the sense she'd been waiting for this moment all day. She said, "Danny, tell everyone the news." Auntie Wu sat up. Wasn't today the day that Danny's eyes widened and I glimpsed a flash of something drowning behind them? He choked. "Not now, Ma." "Now is the perfect time. We're like family here." Danny stared for a long second at his noodle bowl, then rearranged his face so quickly that no one else noticed. He said, "I got into Princeton." He smiled and showed the high dimple on his right cheek. It always looked as if someone had pinned it out of place. Congratulations burst around the table and someone asked, "Did you hear from Stanford yet?" Danny shook his head. He kept smiling, but his dimple faded. He looked lost as he disappeared behind best wishes and well-intentioned questions. I watched him closely and frowned. Something was wrong. I tried to catch his eye, but he wouldn't look at me. He knew I was trying to telegraph a million questions to his brain. "We have some exciting news to share, too," said Auntie Wu, looking at her daughter. Celeste gave her mom a look that said, "Shut up, Mom," and shook her head faintly. Auntie Wu kept talking. Celeste was accepted into a summer internship program at Google. It's supposed to be for graduating seniors, but she got in, even though she'll only be a junior next year. Auntie Wu practically exploded out of her skin. She was so dang proud. My mom clasped her hands, a speechless smile spread across her face. She never looked at me that way, a lantern glowing with pride. That look was always saved for Celeste. "May, what will you be doing this summer?" said Auntie Wu. The smell of jasmine wafted beneath my nose as Celeste looked down and refilled teacups around the table before pouring her own. I looked at Auntie Wu and said lamely, I don't really know." Obviously not the right answer. "May is an amazing writer," Danny chimed in, always there to step in for me. Then he grinned. "She's also a pretty dope breakdancer." I choked on a chunk of beef, but Danny kept talking. He continued, "Back in the day, she thought she was going to become a member of the Jabberwockies, and she spent all of her time working on her moves." He glanced at me quickly and gave me a lightning-fast wink. I smiled back, grateful for his deflection. He knew I hated the sensation of other people's eyeballs resting on my face, watching me, sizing me up. When people look at me, I feel like their eyes highlight all my deficiencies. I hate that feeling so much. I almost failed 7th grade English because I refused to give the final presentation in front of my class. I only passed because Mrs. Johnson let me redo the presentation alone after school. I've gotten a little braver since then, but not much. "Danny used to practice with May in her room," said my dad, bobbing his head in a terrible mimicry of our dance moves. "Whoa, please stop, Ba. She clearly didn't get her dance genes from you," said Danny. My dad socked him in the shoulder. Everyone laughed as the conversation skipped right over me. My mom collected bowls and chopsticks as she cleared the table. She didn't say anything. She didn't have to. The hippo at her side, shaking its head at me, said it all. Chapter 2. We're going to do another chapter. After dinner, my dad perched atop a ladder, changing the light bulbs in the entryway. My dad had a thing with light bulbs. If he sees them on sale, he buys a box. Or two. Or 12. We have a small closet in the upstairs hallway filled with bulbs of all shapes and sizes. LED, fluorescent, halogen, neon, CFL, incandescent, he has them all. He changes light bulbs around the house the way people watch their favorite shows, regularly scheduled with an occasional binge fest. I swear, his dream is to make a wall full of light bulbs in our living room. I squeezed his big toe and called up, "There's a terrible stink in our house, Ba. Didn't you wash your feet before people came over?" "Foot washing is for the weak. Real men have stinky feet," he said. I pinched my nose and scrunched up my face. I had a sneaking suspicion he posted up by the door to catch me heading to my room. He knew I was bugged because of dinner, and light bulbs tended to get changed near me when I wanted privacy. "You almost done?" I asked. "Just your room left," he answered cheerily as he climbed carefully down the ladder. His lean frame was softening at the edges. I poked the soft roll near his belly button. "That's called dad bod," he said. "Your brother started it, and you made it grow. It's the best pillow, I grin. Yeah, it's not that big yet. He walked off in a huff. My dad had a little swagger in his step, even when he was stalking up the stairs in his socks. Signs of his childhood on the streets of Chinatown clung to him like cigarette smoke. He loved suya, a midnight meal. He only ate egg tarts from the Golden Gate Bakery in Grant. He always sat with his back to a wall where he could see all the entryways to a room. I asked him about this once, and he changed the subject. He was already messing with my lights when I got upstairs. Yam, pass me that bulb, my dad said, balancing precariously in the air, one foot on my bed and another on the bookshelf. Yam is May, spelled backward. My dad thinks he's a comedian. You changed that one last week, I said. I got these new LED bulbs. They save energy, and we're on sale. Don't worry. I'll keep the other bulbs in my emergency box. His slipper caught on the edge of the bookshelf, and he wobbled. Careful, Ba. I'm fine, he said lightly. Then he added in a low voice, How are you doing, Yam? Eh? I knew he wanted to cheer me up, but I didn't want to talk about dinner. Or Mom. My dad was quiet as he twisted a bulb into place. Then he said, with a slightly over-the-top conspiratorial tone, Hey, last time I changed this bulb, you told me about that boy. What's his name? John, Joe, Jacob, Josh. Oh, yeah, Josh. Football player, but quiet. Big shot, BC dad. See? I remember. He passes you funny notes in class. Yeah, he folds them into little triangular footballs. Tell him you can't date till you're 45. Date? Who dates? That's for old people, Ba. These days, people just hook up. I pretended not to see my dad's eyebrows shoot up in alarm as I climbed onto my bed to dig around for my phone. It was always getting lost under the covers or wedged in between the wall and the mattress. Besides, I don't like him like that. He's just a friend. He'll stick to funny notes if he knows what's good for him. There, all done. My dad hopped to the floor with a thud. He patted me on the back, then turned around at my bedroom door and said casually, Your mom's downstairs in the kitchen. I bet she'd love someone to talk to. When I walked into the kitchen, my mom nodded, but she didn't say anything. She just kept packing up the leftovers. I loaded the dishwasher and started a cycle. The hum of the machine and the rush of water from the faucet were the only sounds in the kitchen. That stupid pregnant hippo tromped around me in circles like a well-trained circus animal as I soaped up the sponge and started scrubbing pots. Finally, my mom broke the silence. Celeste Chai Shun, she said. Chai Shun is like my mom's favorite word. I looked it up once, and the internet said it meant filial piety, which looks and sounds like gibberish to me. There really isn't a good translation. It's like obedient, respectful, caring, and every other desirable quality rolled into one intimidating word. All good Chinese kids should be Chai Shun. It bothered me that I had been thinking about my mom all night, but she had been thinking about Celeste. Granted, I wasn't thinking very nice things, but at least I was thinking about her. Yeah, she's pretty perfect, Ma. I told myself not to say anything. My mom looked up sharply, her rudeness radar on full alert. What's wrong with you, Maybelline? Nothing. Celeste knows what's best for her future, and she works very hard. You could learn a lot from her. I work hard too, Ma. Do you? She snapped the lid onto a glass container. You could have a Google internship too. I don't want a Google internship. Then what do you want? I felt like this was a trick question, so I kept my mouth shut. When Danny was your age, he was already joining clubs and leading the basketball team. I scrubbed the pot in my hand like I was trying to clean off the Teflon. I could hear her from past conversations. I should have signed you up for a camp or a summer program. I never had to do that for Danny. He was already so involved. My mom's pregnant hippo plopped itself beside me and stared up with unblinking disapproval. She let it convey all her disappointment as she kept cleaning. I made a face at it, then turned my back to string up some lights in my cave of silence. She wasn't done, though. You're smart, too. So smart you don't study hard. You're just going along, floating along. I get good grades, Ma. Good grades aren't enough, Maybelline. She put her food container in the fridge and turned around. You need to be doing more for your future. Okay, Ma. My hands scrubbed away with a life of their own. I closed my eyes and sucked in a lungful of air. Slowly, so it wouldn't seem like I was trying to be attitude-y. I could feel her eyes on my back for a long minute before she sighed. I'm trying to help you, Maybelline. I didn't respond, Speaking up would just make things worse. As the minutes stretched forward, I picked at the pot in my hands to make sure the Teflon was still intact before stacking it on the drying rack. Then I got to work on the larger bowls that didn't fit in the dishwasher. After bowls, I did the chopsticks and spoons. There's nothing satisfying about washing utensils, so I always wash them last. When I finished, I wiped my hands on a dish towel and brushed wordlessly past my mom. And that's the end of the chapters. Oh, what do you think will happen next? Do you think May and her mother will resolve this tension? What do you think about this comparison between Celeste and May? I hope that you found this chapter intriguing enough to check out. If not, well, there's always another book just waiting to be discovered. You can check this book out as a print and a digital. We have it as an ebook and an e-audiobook. If you need any help with your library card or with Libby, our digital platform, let us know. We're always happy to be of assistance. Please check the show notes for some read-alikes and for that those resources for Mental Health Awareness Month. Thank you for listening. Join me next time for another Next Reads.